You're in the home 6010. Welcome into the CSS DFS podcast. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. Daniel Dopp, Mike Clay here, breaking down what is our final CSS DFS of the year, Mike.
I can't believe it. All right, I feel like we just started the season, and here we are. All the way through the playoffs to the Super Bowl episode. It's going to be a little different here, right? We're doing Showdown Captain. We usually do just your normal standard lineups. It's going to be a little different, but we're going to preview this whole game, and it's going to be a lot of fun for me because I, of course, am our resident Philadelphia Eagles fan.
That's right.
On the podcast, but also a big fan of the history of the NFL. And I've always been a fan of the Chiefs as well, going back to their Dallas Texan days, Hank Stram, Len Dawson, the Hunts, of course, the trophy named after them. So this is awesome. And not to mention Andy Reid and the Kelseys. It's going to be a lot of fun. So looking forward to previewing this game.
Absolutely. I am totally with you. Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, really going to be exciting to talk about both of these guys and what they can do with this team. Really quickly, for last week,
let's not talk about that.
Well, all right. How about Cheeseheads came up? They were the winner. I cannot believe that.
Cheeseheads. Lots of threes in
there. Please. As if I needed that. 146.04 was our winner for last week's DFS contest. Join our free league, our last one of the year, over at DraftKings. Free to enter. Follow at Mike Clay NFL. I am at Daniel Dopp. Our good buddy Al Zeidenfeld is not with us right now. Why? Because his son David had a bar mitzvah earlier in the week or last weekend, and Al had a really good time. A lot of fun.
To the point that he's not on the show today. That's how good of a time he had.
His voice is still working its way back. He's totally fine, but it's just he's really hoarse right now. So we're taking over for Al. I'm going to give out his tournament picks, but obviously Al is with us all season long too. So we just want to say thank you so much to everything that you have done for us, Al. We love you. And follow everything that he does. Smizzle.tv/links for everything that is Al Zeidenfeld. All of his DFS, his card opening, his video games, everything else that he does. Go check it out there.
Yeah, he's the best, and we have his lineup here, right?
Yes,
so
we
can drop that at the end. We'll just deliver it for him since we have working voices.
Yes, right. And for now, let's use those working voices to talk about this game. Mike, we'll split it up into how about positional groups for each team when we do this.
Yeah, by the way, we should point out, you know, if you haven't done Showdown Captain, right, you get a captain slot, you get 1.5 times the price. You have to pay 1.5 the pricing, and then you get 1.5 the points for your captain, right? So we'll talk through some options and directions you might want to go with your captain. And then you have five, of course, essentially flex spots. You could put anyone in there and
including quarterbacks,
including quarterbacks, but also kickers and defenses, both of them this week. So it's a little of a bit of a unique situation here, but you can get a little chaotic with this, have a little fun, put kind of a dart throw in there. If you're in a tournament setting, you kind of need to do that to separate yourself. So again, we're going to talk about the main guys that you're going to be thinking about, but also some of those long shot players.
All right. So let's start with the quarterback position because these two guys, you're basically talking about the two MVP candidates for the season, right? Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, their price is so close with each other. Which one do you like, or do you want to go a specific direction, or do you think that you could build with both of these quarterbacks?
You certainly can. Again, you want to get creative here. You have to do something different if you're in a tournament setting. If I'm just trying to beat you, I'm going to put a quarterback in my captain spot for sure because they have the highest floor and obviously the highest ceiling. Not to mention these are two of the best quarterbacks in fantasy. You can go that direction for sure. Look, they're $200 apart in pricing. Hurts is a little higher, which isn't shocking considering how good he's been, but you basically just want to decide how you want to stack and which direction you want to go.
If you notice that these prices too, if you don't play Showdown, if this is your first time, they're higher than what a regular slate would be, which is why Patrick Mahomes is 11,000 and Jalen Hurts is 11,200.
Exactly. So, you know, in the case of Hurts, I mean, look, there's a lot to like. I don't have to get into all the details about how many rushing touchdowns he has, like almost one per game, and how productive he's been in fantasy. His point totals have been ridiculous. But keep this in mind. The Chiefs, during the regular season, allowed the most passing touchdowns in the NFL. I also thought this was interesting. 76% of the quarterbacks that faced them were above their season average otherwise against the Chiefs.
Really?
That's highest in the NFL. So they were arguably worst against quarterbacks in the NFL. Part of that is game script. They're ahead often. Teams have to throw to catch up, but it's also efficiency. So it is, you know, just all things considered. I mean, it's a good matchup on top of everything else here for Jalen Hurts. So I would give him an edge in terms of value here at $200 more. Obviously, you know, Mahomes at 11K, no problem there. If you decide, look, I think the Chiefs are going to win this game, you know, Mahomes will throw for 350, three touchdowns. I'm going to build a stack around him with the receiver and Travis Kelce. That's fine. You could throw Mahomes in your captain and it's fine. It just depends how you want to design your lineup. I will say one more note on Mahomes though, only 16 yards and six carries in the playoffs. We're worried a little bit about his health there. Could that be a limiting factor? just something to keep in mind when you're thinking about upside here for these two options.
Yeah, absolutely. And I asked you last week when we were talking about this with the Eagles game, obviously we talked about the Eagles secondary all season long being one of the better secondaries in that wide receiver cornerback matchup. But you got Patrick Mahomes and this entire Chiefs offense, entire Chiefs offense. Is there anything from this that, you know, you think Patrick Mahomes or the secondary, we got to give pause to any of these skill position players?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the Eagles have allowed the fewest passing yards per game, 199 per game, and the lowest yards per pass attempt to quarterbacks this season, including the two playoff games. You look at the schedule, yes, it's not super intimidating, right? But that's kind of been the anti-Eagles argument, and it's going to be for the next week and a half, which is the schedule's been so easy, but it's not like they're scraping by, right? They're just crushing everyone they play, like every week this season. Two of their losses were without Jalen Hurts. They lost one game with him. I mean, and that was to Washington, of course, that random game. You know, their defense is legit on paper. I mean, they have the pass rush. They have the interior defensive line, good linebacker play. The safeties are healthy with Gardner Johnson there now. I mean, they have obviously the perimeter corner play is terrific. Avante Maddox is back in the slot. I mean, they have the personnel. So this really is a legit defense. I don't expect them to hold Mahomes to 199 yards, right? Their average this season, he's obviously in a different level than a lot of guys they face, but it is a tough matchup. Whereas it's probably easier for Hurts, it's certainly tougher here for Patrick Mahomes.
Really interesting. I love both of these quarterbacks. I think you could play either one of them. I like the idea of trying to fit both of them in there based on how
good both of them
are.
If you're doing you're just playing your buddy and it's a head-to-head or a 50-50, you want to be in the 50th
percentile. Double up, something like that, yeah.
If you're in that sort of situation, you want to get both of the quarterbacks in your lineup. That's a safe way to go. But again, a lot of people are going to do that anyway. So if you want to differentiate yourself and be in the 99th percentile and win a tournament, you're going to have to do something different. That probably means fading one of these two guys. Not both, but one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the running backs then, because this is another spot where you can maybe find some differentiation, because I think the Eagles certainly have a ton of guys that they use. And there's one that obviously stands out the most because Miles Sanders is just the name. But is he the obvious one you want to go with when you look at potential value for this slate?
Yeah, this is tough because game script has... You don't say this about playoff games often, right? I mean, the Eagles have won, 31-7 and 34-7, I believe, that were the scores, something like that. Game script was a big deal, and Miles Sanders didn't get as much run as he normally does. Now, he had two touchdowns last week. Before that, 9 or fewer DraftKings points in 5 straight games. He hasn't had a multi-target game since week 14. I mean, we're going to talk about the Chiefs running backs in a second. Sanders is the highest-priced running back, and without a passing game there, and with his kind of inconsistent output, makes him a little bit risky for sure. We have seen a lot of Kenny Gainwell in the playoffs. Zero double-digit touch games in the regular season. He now has 2 in the playoffs. 29 carries, 195 yards, and a touchdown in the 2 playoff games so far. That is big-time volume.
Huge.
But again, game script, a factor. They're blowing teams out. They don't need Sanders on the field. Also, Boston Scott has a touchdown in 3 straight games, but only has 21 touches. So I'd be hesitant about Gainwell and Scott to some extent, but I mean, if the Eagles are behind in this game or it's close, we could see more Gainwell in the passing game because they don't use Sanders there. So pick your spot. I think if you're looking for a dart throw and you want to say, look, I need to do something unique to everyone else, Boston Scott, Gainwell. I think Gainwell might be too popular just because of what he's done in the playoffs.
Sure.
That could be kind of tricky because we expect this to be a better game, but you know, maybe Boston Scott's a dart throw option for a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, with what it is that he has been doing and the way that this offense utilizes both the running backs and Jalen Hurts inside the 5, as long as they continue to do that, you'd think that at least one of these running backs is going to get in the end zone. It's always the question of which one?
Who's on the field?
How do I throw the dart?
Yeah. They don't really care who it is. It's just a matter of when they get near the goal line, who's on the field to score that touchdown. I will say this, though. The Chiefs actually really good against running backs. They've only allowed 6 rushing touchdowns to running backs this season.
Wow.
Very good. They don't allow much volume on the ground. Again, teams are chasing them, right?
Sure.
But they have been crushed through the air against running backs. So again, that pushes you maybe a little bit towards Gainwell. So you're seeing why this is complicated, right? We've been kind of tricked in terms of playing time by the game script in the playoffs, but at the same time, this matchup sets it better for a pass-catching running back, and the Eagles haven't done a ton of that.
All right, well, let's talk about the Chiefs running backs, because I'm thinking about... We watched the game last week.
Oh, man, what a head-scratcher.
We were talking about... I was like, pass-catching running backs. I've got some Jerick McKinnon. I need some Jerick McKinnon. You know who's out there catching all the passes? Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, what a curveball.
What happened there? So when you're looking at these two running backs this week, $7,200 for Pacheco, $6,800 now for Jerick McKinnon, is there one that you prefer or that you feel stronger about based on what you've seen in this playoff?
Yeah, it's tough because, I mean, coming into last week, to your point, Pacheco never had more than three targets in a game.
Yeah.
He doubled that up. He had six targets in that game.
That was infuriating. Of course it was.
I mean, he outsnapped McKinnon 37 to 26. You know, it was at least 85 yards in both of the playoff games. But, you know, he, you know, even with the big target game last week, he has never cleared 16.2 DraftKings points in a week, right? So makes you wonder, like, does he have the ceiling I want in a showdown captain sort of setting? I mean, maybe he does now because he's getting more passing game involvement, but I'd be a little worried about that being a little bit fluky for sure. You know, Jerick McKinnon only had six touches last week. He has 43 yards on 17 touches in the playoffs. He's certainly not doing what he did last season, but again, it wouldn't shock me at all if McKinnon came out and was the lead back. You know, it just wouldn't because they keep going back and forth. So I don't love either guy. I think either way, it's a dart throw just because we don't know how the Chiefs are going to deploy these guys. I do have McKinnon projected just a hair above Pacheco, but it's basically a toss-up. McKinnon probably a little bit better value just because he's $400 cheaper.
Yeah. I'm looking at Isaiah Pacheco and just as a part of this, right, looking at these running backs, and it doesn't really feel like any of these running backs are by any even close to a lock to hit that bonus. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about it, you know, Isaiah Pacheco only hit 100 rushing yards once this year, right? That wasn't a big thing. And none of these other guys across the board, Miles Sanders, I don't see getting a bonus. You're not talking about pass catching bonuses from these running backs. So you're looking at who is going to be involved and how much volume can you get from them. It feels like I kind of just want to fade the running backs altogether.
Yeah.
Is that a fair strategy?
For sure. I mean, I don't think anyone would be shocked if this game is like 35-32
and it's just
passing, and you're just not getting much out of the running games other than probably, you know, Jalen Hurts certainly, as we talked about, probably not a lot out of Patrick Mahomes. Maybe you just get a rushing touchdown here or there, but you might not see a lot of volume in the running game. Keep this in mind too. We're taping this on Thursday.
Correct.
Later today, I'm going to hop on Daily Wager to talk about some props for this game. And one of the things I talked about in there is the Eagles' offensive scheme, which is that they are by far the run heaviest team in the league in the fourth quarter because they're ahead. Often. They've been ahead more than any other team. They've been majority of their snaps. I think it's like 56% of the time they've been ahead when they've had the ball in offense. It's highest in the NFL. But if you look at the first three quarters, they're the 10th pass heaviest team in the NFL. They come out of the gates throwing the football, and we expect this to be a competitive game. What's the line? 1.5? You know, we expect this to be a close game, not the blowout wins that they've had all season and been able to run the ball. So there's opportunity for them to throw. They do lean toward pass, despite what you might think. And the Chiefs, obviously, during the Mahomes era, extremely pass heavy. So to your point, could see a lot of wide receiver tight end involvement here and certainly a lot of Hurts and Mahomes throwing the football.
Yeah, so let's dive into that because I think when you look at these wide receivers, the two questions, if you start with the Eagles, questions are you going to roll with A.J. Brown or are you going to roll with Devonta Smith?
That's the interesting question because believe it or not, since week two, remember week one, Devontae Smith had a bad game and he just got blown out of the water with A.J. Brown in terms of targets. It was like 13-3 or something. Since that game, Devontae Smith has more targets than A.J. Brown. I think that would surprise people, but they basically have two number one receivers, right? They're both outstanding. A.J. Brown does cost you a little more, 9,200. Smith is 8,600. Look, Brown, quiet in the playoffs so far, but again, they haven't had to throw it a lot. 50 yards on 14 targets so far.
He had an open go route that Jalen Hurts just missed him on last game, too.
He did. That's exactly right. And before that, he was great, right? Before the playoffs, he had 95-plus yards in four straight games. Huge target volume. He's fine. As for Smith, again, only 36 yards on three targets last week. Not worried about it. They were, you know, they wanted to run the ball. They wanted to run the clock out. The Niners didn't have their quarterback. So he didn't, you know, wasn't super productive, but he had 5+ catches in his prior seven games, was averaging just a hair under 22 DraftKings points per game. So, he has been, fantastic. Right. So I'm not worried about either of these guys. You could fit one in, probably not doing both. I mean, you want to get creative. Maybe you're doing Hurts, Smith, Brown,
and
something
like that.
Yeah. Then you're going to have to do some fading elsewhere, including a guy like Travis Kelce. So either one's fine. Where it gets interesting probably here is looking for a punt play, right? Yeah. And who's the guy that could just, no one's going to have in their lineup and could catch a random touchdown. And that could be someone like Quez Watkins. Well, he has one target in the playoffs, so it's risky, but he's known for just showing up with a 52-yard touchdown. And Zach Pascal has played a little bit more in the last few weeks, four targets in his last seven games. So again, these are dart throws, but Watkins is 1,400. Pascal is 800, right? So if you fill out your lineup with five good players and you just want to punt, It could be one of those guys. So just name seven in your back pocket. They're the only receivers from the Eagles you're considering.
Absolutely the only ones. When you look at the Chiefs, I feel like we've got 100 wide receivers that we're considering, and I don't feel confident in any of them, except for the one that isn't actually a wide receiver, and his name is Travis Kelce. So if you're looking at one of the wide receivers, yeah, how are you breaking down all of this? Because we got Kadarius Toney, you got Mecole Hardman, you got MVS, you got Juju Smith-Schuster, you got Justin Watson, you got Sky Moore. That's what, six, seven different guys?
Yeah, well, a bunch of guys were hurt in the last game, so we have to first of all see who's going to be active even for here. This game. So yeah. Keep in mind, we might not know until 90 minutes before the game for sure who we're thinking about here. If a guy like Justin Watson is out or Kadarius Toney is out, so keep that in mind. I will say this about MVS. He's coming off the big game, 116 yards and a touchdown. That might lean to more people utilizing him. I'm a little worried about that. I mean, again, everyone was hurt, and so they had to feature him. He had 8 targets in that game. That matched his season high. He was under 12 drafting points in 9 straight games before this one, when, he was forced into that larger role. There were times where he was being outsnapped by Justin Watson. Like, he was going the wrong direction. Maybe the big game leads to a more featured role here in the Super Bowl, but again, he's going to spend a lot of time on the perimeter. It's a big change, right? He's going to see James Bradbury and Darius Slay. That is going to be super tough. So that's MVS. Juju Smith-Schuster, 1 target last week, under 6 drafting points and under 40 yards in 5 straight games. He's disappeared from this offense. Theoretically, he should be in an advantage with this matchup against this Eagles scheme where they're so good on the outside. Maybe they utilize him more in the slot. It's still 5 straight games of getting almost nothing out of him, though.
How confident do you feel being able to throw him into your lineup? Like, that's the play with Juju.
I know, but this is, it's a showdown. There's a little bit more of a lottery aspect. So when everybody's down on him, maybe this is your chance to strike on Juju at $5,600. Again, $600 less than MVS here. So
what about Mecole Hardman? Because I would almost rather think about, okay, Mecole Hardman's coming back. I feel like he's been healthy. Like, this is a guy, and part of this is, right or wrong, the emotional hedge of, I haven't seen Mecole Hardman be bad. And I've watched all of these other wide receivers, in spite of being awesome wide receivers at different times, not be good in recent weeks. So does Mecole give you any kind of, good feelings, positive vibes?
I think that certainly in a normal tournament here, I'd probably want one of Hardman or Kadarius Toney. And looking, Hardman only played 14 snaps last week. Remember, he was out for a while. It was almost 2 months. 4 touches on 14 snaps is pretty good. He also has 5 touchdowns in his prior three games. So he was really heating up prior to that injury. He's the kind of guy that could have a rushing and a receiving touchdown, or 2 rushing touchdowns, Absolutely. So he's an option for sure at 4,800. But Kadarius Toney, again, got hurt again. That's like the 12th time that's happened. He played 4 snaps. He had 2 touches, right? They were trying to get the ball in his hand. So if he is active, that's an interesting wild card, and people are going to be scared off by his injury issues. So I think that's it, though. I mean, otherwise, it depends on if guys are out. Like, Sky Moore played 38 snaps last week and had 6 targets. You're only using him if a couple of these other guys are out for this game, including Juju, who got hurt in that game. He did play a lot. He only had 1 target. He played a lot in that game, but he ended up getting injured. Obviously, Hardman was limited. Kadarius Toney, I mentioned, left injured. So Sky Moore played a lot. Justin Watson missed that game. He's hit double-digit DraftKings points once this season. It was in week 2. So I know he plays a lot of snaps, but not a guy I'm thinking too much about. Again, no more than a punt. You're hoping for a random touchdown. That's it. And Marcus Kemp, he's 200. If a bunch of these guys are out, he's going to cost you 200 out of your 50K. Nothing. Only 1 target last week, played 10 snaps in the regular season. He was forced into action by all of these injuries. That's just a guy to file away in case a bunch of these guys are out. But I don't think he's going to see the field in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that would be you're going to have to go through a lot of guys in order to get to some of them. But this is part of it, right? This is part of why we talk about it now. Again, 90 minutes to kick off, we find out who's actually out, and then some values might start popping for us. So that's why we have this conversation now.
You got it.
We also got Travis Kelce. This one should be fairly quick, 10,600. But Travis Kelce is Travis Kelce. Is it easy? Was it easy for you to find a way to fit him into your, little foreshadowing, into your lineup this week?
Yeah, I want to get him in there. There's 2 ways to look at this. First of all, is how good he has been. I mean, he had 20.8 DraftKings points last week. That is his worst showing in his last 8 playoff
games. What a scrub. 20.8.
Worst. 28.6 per game in his last 8 playoff games.
Oh my gosh.
He has been incredible. 9 touchdowns during that span, almost 12 targets. When the playoffs roll, Al has talked about this the last couple of weeks. When the playoffs roll around, it's no more messing around for the Chiefs. They get the ball to Travis Kelce. However, and again, it is Travis Kelce. He is on another level, but the Eagles, very good against tight ends. 70 plus yards allowed to 0 tight ends this season, only 3 touchdowns, outstanding against that position.
Okay, but how good were the tight ends they played?
They played some good ones. They certainly did.
All right.
Did they play Travis Kelce? No. No, they did not, and he is on another level. So maybe that knocks a few points off Kelce's total. Maybe he has 6 catches instead of 8, but it's Travis Kelce, yeah. Right? I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah. Is there anybody else there within that? Yeah. We talk about a bunch of those pass catchers. Mm-hmm. Is there a secondary tight end?
There is. Again, we're looking for those Hail Mary dart throws to fill out your lineup in the flex. A guy who could just catch a random touchdown and he's in 5% of lineups and it helps you get over the top. You need to do that in Showdown Captain. You got 2. You can go either way here. You can go with Noah Gray, 35 routes run in the playoffs and has 3 targets, had 1 touchdown in the regular season. Not super appealing, but again, he's at least going to have the ball thrown his way probably once or twice. You have a shot there. He's 1,200. And then Jody Fortson was on IR for a long time, came back last week, played 14 snaps. He had a pair of touchdowns in the playoffs. Both of them were early in the season. But again, he's only going to cost you 200, and he's going to be out there on the field a little bit. Should play probably a little more this week than he did last week. That's a guy that they're going to look to, or he's at least going to be running around near the goal line when they're down there.
Yeah.
That could be a guy that catches a random touchdown at 200. He scores at 200. Again, no, very few people are going to have him. That's going to be huge. So that's a guy to know as well.
1 catch for 2 yards gives you like that overpays that $200 price point.
Yeah.
That 1 touchdown for 2 yards overpays that much.
For sure.
From the tight end position, I'm also very much in on Dallas Goedert as long as Jalen Hurts is under center, because with Jalen Hurts as his quarterback, Dallas Goedert has been pretty fantastic.
Yeah, 20% target share and one of the best offenses in the NFL at tight end is going to be hugely productive. He's been over 20% in both playoff games. Again, Jalen Hurts hasn't reached 25 pass attempts in either game because they haven't had to throw. Had he thrown it 40 times in a different game script and Goddard had target shares over 20%, he would have huge box score line. So feel really good about him. The Chiefs, by the way, 9 touchdowns to tight ends during the regular season. That was 5th most. They've been exposed there a little bit as well. Whereas we like some of the secondary tight ends for the Chiefs, I do not for the Eagles. These guys just aren't going to see the ball much. Dak Stoll, you may recall, if you watched that game closely last week, had a target. That was his first in 5 games. They just don't throw to that position at all. You're talking about Jack Stoll 600. I talked about Jody Fortson at 200. I'd rather go
Fortson.
You'd
rather go Fortson.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I just, there you've, I you have a lot of Hail Mary options here. I don't think Jack Stoll is the one to go with here.
I'm with you on that. All right. So we talked about, obviously, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, all the normal stuff. But it's not just defenses like we talked about that you can play on this Showdown slate. Mm-hmm. There's also kickers that you're pairing with that. So let's talk about both kickers and defenses here and how you factor them into a Showdown slate, because their ceiling is considerably lower, right? Yeah. But at the same time, it does feel like you might have potentially a higher floor than what you're... If you pay $1,600 for a guy, there is an absolute chance you just get a flat 0 for that person.
Yeah, just weave these guys in however you want. I mean, kicker's kind of random for sure, but if the Eagles keep struggling to score, they get to the end zone, you might have a big Jake Elliott game. Maybe he kicks 4 field goals, and that's how you win Showdown this week. So I have Elliott, he's at 4,200, Harrison Butker's at 4,000. I actually have Butker projected for about 1.5 more, but either way, you know, tell a story. You know, same thing with the defenses, right? The Eagles are priced $200 more. I have the Chiefs with a slightly higher projection in this one, just based on, you know, Mahomes doesn't take many sacks. Eagles are good there, but Mahomes rarely gets sacked. Hurts does more so. So that's kind of why the point totals work out that way. But you have to tell a story, right? Yep. Maybe your story is that the Eagles take on a Chiefs team that's too good, and you know, this is the best team they've played this season, and they struggle, and the final score is 29-12 Chiefs or something like that, right? Chiefs defense, right? And maybe you use Jake Elliott because they settle for a lot of field goals, and then you go Kelce, Mahomes, and Juju. You know, you probably want to pick a team you think's going to win. You have 4 of them and 2 of the other team. That's usually how I'm going to try to design it. So you just got to sit there, close your eyes, tell a story how the game's going to go, come up with something not super wild, not like you're not starting Jack Stoll and Jody Fortson, right? But tell a story in your head. Build a lineup around that, and if it follows suit with that, you're going to have an edge and you're going to win some money.
In my story, Boston Scott returned the kickoff, opening kickoff for a touchdown.
I like that story.
I have opening kickoff for a touchdown at plus 10,000 right now. So I decided, why not throw $2 on it, see if I can make a little.
Let's get it. I like it.
But I'm with you, and I love the idea. This is one of the things that we do. It's not just this week, it's every week. Like, it's the narrative, it's the story, it's what is my lineup telling me? Like, this is how the game is going to work. You're not just randomly throwing guys guys in there. You're saying this is going to happen, so I'm going to play this guy, and because of this, I'm going to play these things. So that continues here in Showdown, and I think with that, Mike Clay.
Time for lineups.
Let's get to our Showdown lineup, one and only Showdown lineup of the season.
Yep, so this is more of a conservative one, right? I'm trying to beat you here with this one. So this is more of a conservative way to look at it. So I have four Eagles. My story is the Eagles win this one. Mm. I'm going Jalen Hurts in the captain.
Okay.
I have Dallas Goedert and Quez Watkins. So I had to punt somewhere. I went Quez Watkins. I'm going to hope for that long touchdown. Eagles defense as well. So I'm thinking they can maybe create some turnovers, get a couple sacks, you know, hold the Chiefs in line a little bit. And then, of course, I'm also going with the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce stack here in the flex spot. So
love it.
Whatever, Mahomes and Kelce could do well, and this one could still be a winner. I'm fine with that.
Absolutely could be. I don't dislike your lineup at all. Mine is a little bit different.
All right.
You went with Jalen Hurts. I went with one of his pass catchers. I went with A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. Brown, with his salary at the captain spot, gets increased 1.5 times, so it's $13,800. Leaves me enough to still play Jalen Hurts as quarterback and Quez Watkins, in case I can find a little bit of extra value there. I also got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, sticking with what works. And then I've got Justin Watson. We'll see whether or not he plays this week. But I got a lot of those lower level guys that we talked about to be able to look through as we get closer. I wanted a little bit of both. I wanted a quarterback and a top pass catcher from both of them. And I realize that's probably going to be what everybody does. And then it's going to be this and this. Like, how am I going to differentiate those two spots between Quez Watkins and Justin Watson? Because everyone's going to want to have Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. Who are the guys that you are going to differentiate with?
Yeah, I mean, if there's two random guys who score a touchdown in this game, you're going to need them both in your Showdown lineup, right? Yeah. You're going to need those superstars like Hurts, Kelce, Mahomes, and then you're going to need those two guys, whether it's Jody Fortson or Noah Gray or Boston Scott, whoever it may be, you're going to need them. So you have two options here. And if Watson and Watkins both score, you're sitting pretty.
I might do a full tight end lineup.
Yeah.
Jack Stoll, Travis Kelce, Noah Gray, Dallas Goedert,
and
Jody Fortson.
You'll be leaving about $30,000 on the table.
Who else?
When you're done.
All right.
You only spent 40% of the money.
We also have Al's lineup. Al's tournament lineup, even though we cannot be here, he is rolling with the other Eagles wide receiver. Looks like we got some Eagles love on the show today. Devontae Smith, $12,900. He's got Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Noah Gray, and Boston Scott. He's going with the kickoff touchdown narrative.
There it is.
I love it.
Yeah, again, Scott scored in three straight games.
Yes, he has. So that's it. That's going to do
that's
it for
season,
us.
That's the season, my friend.
That is the whole show. I am at Daniel Dopp on Twitter. Please, even though the season is over, we would love to still talk to you. He is at Mike Clay NFL. Mm-hmm. We got a bunch of stuff that we're going to keep doing with Fantasy Focus. We love doing this DFS show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us all year long. It is a ton of fun. Mike, thank you.
Yeah.
I love you, man. It's
great,
a blast
great
doing this.
We'll do it next year?
Let's do it again next year.
See you then.
We'll do it again next year. See you guys.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac, brainiac on the case, with projections that can put us in first place. He's a brainiac, brainiac, he's my Clay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.